All right. This morning, Creation Moment is on the Neanderthal man. You know, you hear a lot about cavemen and the Stone Age, and most think of the Neanderthal man as, you know, some kind of an ape-like person, popularly called Neanderthal. The preferred usage today is Neanderthal, although I'm going to say Neanderthal because I'm just used to that. The first Neanderthal bones were found in a cave in Neander Valley near Dusseldorf, Germany in 1856. Evolutionary anthropologists of the day thought that they had finally discovered the so-called missing link between apes and humans. So they reconstructed the bones into what they thought Neanderthal would look like. He was portrayed as a hairy brute that could not stand fully erect. Evolutionists today recognize that the first Neanderthals were found to be suffering from rickets and arthritis, and that's what gave the bones only a superficial appearance of being less than human. But we found in more study, I'm going to read an extra little page that I found. We found in an extra study that they weren't so dumb after all. In fact, they were excellent planners and hunters. They worked expertly in groups. They also made tools, and not only did they make the tools, but they also improved on the tools as children grew. And so what we found is that they're not so off from human beings like today. In fact, we reclassified them, the science finally reclassified them as Homo sapiens, or human. And they, you know, they figured if they give him a modern haircut and clothes, they could walk down the street and not attract any attention. Well, now, he probably would, but, you know, today, if he dressed in a suit, probably wouldn't. Because, you know, Duck Dynasty and all that, they probably wouldn't look so far off. You know, and so Neanderthals weren't that far off from our normal appearances of today. What's the difference? Well, they also found some very interesting more facts. They found out that they actually buried their dead and they put flowers on them. They actually practiced religion or religious motions, whatever. And they cared for their sick and the weak, and they weren't so far off from what we're doing now. You know, in fact, they found out in more study of bones and different things. See, I had pictures of their art. And these actually were off of cave walls during the Neanderthal period. The next one, next slide, I think, is the tools or musical instruments, believe it or not. They made these flutes out of bones. And you could see the improvements in the above part, where they improved from the older bone to even newer ones and made even more slender flutes, etc. So they also found out that the Neanderthals had this bone called the hyoid bone in their neck. We have one as well. And it anchors and supports the tongue and helps you to talk. So apes don't have that bone. And the Neanderthals must have then had language and were also speaking. So what's the difference, right? and so I thought that was pretty interesting that science, the more that science studies and learns, the more they find out there's not a whole lot of difference going on between our ancient ancestors, the cavemen. I remember that commercial, you know, even a caveman could do it. I always thought those were pretty cute. Anyways. You know, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. I mean, all over the world, at least those that celebrate Thanksgiving are probably talking about Thanksgiving. I know across this country, churches are preaching sermons about Thanksgiving and probably countless sermons about Thanksgiving. And then we're going to gather around that table on Thursday, and we're going to all eat a bunch of food. We're going to have, you know, whatever you have traditionally. You know, now we went to turkey, but I found out years and years ago they used to have chicken for Thanksgiving, and it wasn't so much the turkey. And I don't know who introduced that. I should have probably looked that up. But turkeys got the short end of the straw, and so now we all have turkeys. And so there's thousands and probably millions of turkeys that go out every year into the homes. And we order Amish turkeys because Kathy likes the beard and the hat that they wear. And, you know, no, they grow them different. And then the turkeys, instead of gobbling, they have bees and bows. And yeah. You know, we go down and get that turkey, and it's actually really good. You know, they raise them naturally and those kind of things. But you know what? What about if you don't have things to really be thankful? What if you don't have a feast on the table? What if you know, whatever reasons, you know, there isn't a lot to be thankful for? And that's really what I want to focus on, I think, a little more. Because, you know, we know that there are some people that are homeless, not by their choice, maybe a house burned down. You know, maybe they came on hard times, whatever it might have been, and they were kicked out of their homes. Some people will go hungry, not only in this nation. We still have people who do. But in other nations, you know, you think of what has happened in the Middle East, and a lot of families have been displaced, especially Christian families, and some are going to go hungry. They're not going to have that big spread on the table. And, you know, and I'm not here to guilt us, because, you know, I'm going to enjoy turkey just as much as everyone else. But I do want us to remember and think about that there are individuals out there that are on hard times. They're going through very difficult situations in their life. May not be everything that, you know, they would want and all the blessings that they would hope for. And so, you know, how in the world can we be thankful if we don't have things, if we don't have a home, if we don't have food on the table? I believe that the Bible has the answer, and that's why we're going to talk about it, because I believe with strong conviction that there is something to be thankful for, and that we don't need to worry about our circumstances. And so I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1799 in your pew Bibles. 1799, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 16, just the one verse, basically. I mean, Paul in Thessalonians, in this letter, he's talking about a lot of different issues and final instructions. And so he says this in verse 16. He says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So, and he wants us to be joyful always. Now, that's a tall order. You know, if you're not sitting around a table with food on it, you know, if you're like, we were watching the news at one point, and there was a refugee that, you know, from Syria, and they were interviewing this individual, and it was a lady, and they asked her, you know, "When was the last time you ate?" And she said, "3 days ago." You know, how can you be joyful if you haven't eaten for 3 days? I know, in my mind, all I'd be thinking about is food at that point. I would be looking at things that were edible around me. You know, keep your fingers away from me. Because, you know, in 3 days, that's tough. You know, verse 17, pray continually. Yeah, I would be doing that, for sure, praying for food. You know, in verse 18, giving thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. You know, I've been chased out of my home. I'm you know, homeless at this point, and I have no food. And how do I give thanks in all circumstances? It says, "For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So now, you know, I have this added weight on my shoulder that it's the will of God that I should give thanks in all circumstances. So I should thank Him for my situation. that I'm homeless, that I don't have food. I'm supposed to thank him for those circumstances. You know, I believe in those situations, God provides us the ability to be thankful. But I want us to turn to 1 Chronicles. And we're going all the way to the Old Testament, 590 in 1 Chronicles. And I want us to go there, 590, chapter 16, and verse 34. Now this is reiterated in Psalm. We're going to read that too, but 590, 1 Chronicles 16:34, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." Now, you know, the nation's going through some tough times and saying, you know, "Save us, O God," in verse 35. And you know, they want to give thanks to His holy name. They want to be delivered from these people that have harassed them. And yet, in verse 34, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." So what you see there is that it's not dependent on me. It's not dependent on my circumstances. Giving thanks is not dependent on what happens around me or on the people I am associating with. Giving thanks depends on God. And it says, "If because He's good, I'm giving thanks to the Lord." Now, some of us, we look at our lives and we look at what's happening in our lives and the trials and tribulations we go through, and we're thinking, "Well, you know, I just don't see it. You know, God is good." But that's what the reality is. The truth of Scripture, the truth of God's Word, the truth of His characteristics, His personality, is that He is good. He is that way. That is who He is. Just like when you see the Scripture that says God is love. God is love. God is good. Okay? So there is no deviation in God. And so the reason we give thanks is not because of our circumstances, not because of what I am or what I'm going through, but because He is good. That's why I'm giving thanks. Now, I want you to go, I said Psalm would also have this same scripture. And Psalm 106 does, 885 in your Pew Bible. 885, Psalm 106. And verses 1 and 2. Psalm 106, 1 and 2 says, "Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord, or fully declare His praise? Blessed are they who maintain justice, who constantly do what is right." So, again, not dependent on me, not dependent on my circumstances, all dependent on Him. God is good. His love endures forever. All His mighty acts, you look at the things He has done throughout history and His creation, and we give thanks. I know that when I sit at the table at Thanksgiving, I'm going to thank God for turkey. Because I like turkey. I'm going to give thanks for that. But He's the one that made turkeys. He's the one that made everything. He's the one that supplies, or if I don't have anything, it's still there. He's still God. Even though nothing is in front of me, even if my house would burn down, even if, you know, everything would be taken away from me in some way or another, I can still thank Him. I can still praise Him. I can still look to Him in gratefulness because of who He is. Now, we're going to look at another scripture to tie this up just a little bit more. 1 John 18:60 in your Pew Bibles. Now, 1 John gives us a little bit more insight into more thankfulness of what and who God is. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 9. It talks, of course, you know, 1 John is the book of love. You know, it talks about love mostly throughout the whole book or letter. Verse 9 says this: "This is how God showed us, or showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Since, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to all, love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Skip down to verse 19, and it says, we love because He first loved us. Now I want you to know that it wasn't because we were seeking God that He sent Jesus down to save us. He sent Jesus down to save us because He is love. Because He cares for us. Because He gave of Himself for us. Now, we had no regard. We didn't know a thing about it. And I don't know about you, but I didn't take any account of God before I was a Christian. I didn't know a thing. I didn't care a thing about God. But once I was enlightened about God, shown His salvation, shown His Word, and I realized that, you know what? Not only does it make sense, it's exactly what I need to do. So He loved me first. It wasn't us. And the point is that we're not the originators of love. We're not the originators of thanks, praise, goodness, or anything. God is. See, in the Garden of Eden, it started out good. But then Eve took the fruit, and then Adam took the fruit, and then pretty soon sin enters the world. Disobedience and sin. So sin, it corrupts thanks and praise and goodness and love. It corrupts it all. And so we don't know what the truth is. As we go through our lives, and you just have to look at Hollywood to know that we don't know what true love, true thanks, true praise, true goodness is. You know, their sense of goodness and love and all those things is twisted at best. And so you look at that kind of example, and you find an example that's totally twisted. Now, they think it's right. You know, and of course they do, because they have no standard to judge by. But that's where God comes in. He's the originator of all these things. In His Word is the truth about all these things. In His Word is the truth about Him. And so what we've been doing is we've been listening to the voices of the world, the voices of Satan, who said, oh, God's not like that. God doesn't care about you. God doesn't love you. He's not good. You know, God does this and God does that. And, you know, oh, how horrible God is. He's just waiting for you to step out of line. And then He's going to send the lightning bolt. And you're going to be a pile of ashes with eyeballs hanging out. That's what Bill Cosby said. Well, we don't like to talk about him anymore, I guess. You know, the politically correct thing, right? You know, and the thing is that all of us were following sin. And Hollywood follows sin. They have no other father. Their father is the devil. Just like Jesus said to the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders. He said to them, your father is the devil. You don't know how to tell the truth. And they didn't know anything about true love, true thanks, true praise, and true goodness. So, how can we be thankful? Well, first of all, you have to have the Lord in your life, because if you don't have God in your life, you don't have thanks and goodness or anything else. You can't understand it. You know, even in the midst of our trials and troubles, our sin and hatred, Jesus came. Even in the midst of our miserable existence, Jesus came. Why? To give us eternal life. John 3:16, we've all heard it before. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. God gave that to us. All we have to do is believe in Him, trust Him with our lives, and He gives us eternal life. If that's not worth thanking God for, I don't know what is. You see, our trials and our hardships and our pain and suffering is because of the world and sin. It's not God doing. God doesn't say, well, let's see how they react to this. Now, we go through testing. Yes, we talked about that on Wednesday nights. There are times where we're tested. But God isn't sending us these evil things to see how we react. You know, it's like the mouse in the maze. You know, let's see if they can make it to this cheese. We'll put it over here now. Oh, I'm going to move it. You know, now you don't get it. Oh. You know, that's not God. God doesn't, you know, James tells us he's not a shifting shadow. He doesn't change from day to day. He's the same. And Hebrews tells us Jesus the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so that's what the Bible tells us about God. But the world whispers to us, oh, he's not that way. Look at the world. Look at the condition it's in. Look at all the hardships in the Middle East. Look at all the killing. Look at the starving children. Yeah, those are horrible things. But you know, that's not because he caused it. Sin caused it. Now, he's held a lot of it back. We don't understand how much he's held back. But he has held back the majority of what could be happening in this world. Can you imagine if there were no goodness, if there absolutely all the goodness, all the thanks, all the gratefulness, everything was pulled out of this world right now? Can you imagine what this world would be like? It's going to happen someday. You know, we talk about the rapture, and we talk about someday, bam, Christians will be gone. All those who believe in Jesus as their Savior, gone. And the Holy Spirit with us. Now what's going to happen then is that the world is going to be let go. God is going to lift his hand off of this world. And anything and everything, sky's the limit, according to sin. You think it's bad now? You wait until then. You're going to see people not only looting, but killing one another for whatever, for minute things. They're going to be turning each other in for just little favors. You know, but that's not what we have. In us is thanks. In us is praise. In us is gratefulness. In us is the truth. And that truth is in Jesus Christ. And when you trust him as your Savior, you get those things. And so even in the midst, you ever wonder how these people can do that? You know, there was a guy, I've mentioned it before on Wednesday night, I believe, where a guy was being tortured because he was a Christian in the Middle East. He was being tortured. And every time they whipped him and every time they tortured him, he said thank you to his torturers. And can you imagine having someone beating you and torturing you and you're chained and you can't do a thing and they're shoving you in the water, and they're doing the waterboarding, they're doing all that stuff that's just horrible. We haven't even got an inkling of what it's like to be tortured. And he, every time he can gasp for breath, thank you. Thank you. I don't know if I could do that. You know, it would be difficult. But I do believe that the Lord gives us the strength in the time that we need it. And so, one of them went to him and said, you know, I can't understand you. Most people curse us. Most people hate us when we torture them. But you keep thanking us. What's wrong with you? He said, every time I'm tortured gets me closer to heaven. So I thank you. You see, that's what we have. God is still God. He hasn't left the building. He hasn't changed from who he is. God is still God. He's the creator of the universe. He's still God. It says in the Bible, he'll not leave us. He doesn't. Well, yeah, we go through trials and tribulations. Was that him leaving us? No. Scripture in Psalm 23 says, even in the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. So even in the midst of trials and tribulations, pain and suffering, God is with us. We may not sense it. We may not feel it, but he's still there. His salvation is in my heart. Eternal life is my destination. Heaven cannot be taken away from me. It cannot be taken away from you. If you trust Jesus as your Savior, no matter what they do to you, torture, kill, maim, behead, Eternal life, heaven, cannot be taken away from you. Salvation cannot be taken away from you. You are secure in His fold. That's what I thank God for. That's what I'm grateful for. That's what I praise Him for. It says to be thankful in everything. And, you know, there's times where I look at God and I just say, oh, man, I don't want to go through this. This sounds kind of familiar. When Jesus was in the garden, He said, Father, take this cup from me. I don't want to do this. But not my will, Your will be done. You know, we're here for one specific reason. It's to preach the gospel. It's to share with other people who are lost the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's to build the kingdom. It's to fight for God. You know, as we continue this fight, as we're here in this world, Satan doesn't like it. He's going to throw stuff at us. I mean, do you ever expect to go into a battle and not be shot at? Duh. You know, when we go into battle, we're going to get shot at. We're going to get thrown stuff. There's even going to be propaganda falling from the skies. That's what they did in World War II, and that's what they did in Vietnam, dropping pamphlets and telling people that, you know, that American military eat children. You know, that was part of the propaganda. And then they drop it on the Americans and they say, you know, you're fighting for nothing. Your wives have left you and they're living with your boyfriend or your friends, your best friends, whatever. You know, I mean, it was all kinds of propaganda thrown at these guys. Especially the POWs. Captured and stuck in a prison, being tortured and then being told, America abandoned you. They don't care about you. It's the same thing that Satan does to us, isn't it? God's abandoned you. You're in a trial now, and he's not there. He doesn't care about you. But He does care. The Bible tells me so. He does love me. The Bible tells me that too. I can thank God that no one, no thing, nothing in heaven or earth can take away my salvation in Jesus Christ. I'm secure in Him. Bring it on, world. Bring it on. Because you can't touch this. You can touch my body. You can bust me up. You can take my home. You can take my stuff. You can take my food. You can take everything there is. But you can't take my salvation, my eternal life, my heavenly home. You can't take it away from me. And I thank God for that. And so when we gather around the table at Thanksgiving, that's what you thank God for. If you don't have any food on the table, if you just have popcorn to eat for supper, thank God. You have eternal life in Jesus Christ. You can thank Him because God is good and His love endures forever. I'd like us to go to our last song. It's going to be up on the screen. We're going to do three verses of that song. Let's all stand as we sing 279. My hope is in the Lord.